Hello and welcome back to the Classics World Chat Show. Today, once again, we're joined by James from Hobbs Parker Car Auctions.
Hello.
And today, gents, it's what's on the inside that counts. Now, I think it's fair to say one of the biggest appeals in a classic car is the interior. Even if you're not into cars, you open the door, take a smell, you see it, beautiful. You fall in love with it. I mean, you see all sorts coming through, I'd imagine, James.
Absolutely. Well, the smell, straight away. You mentioned the smell.
Yeah.
You wish you could bottle it sometimes, don't you?
Yeah, an old Rolls Royce or something.
An old Rolls Royce or an old Jag or something like that. But yeah, the interior evokes memories as well, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Nostalgia is the reason a lot of us buy classic cars, old cars, the biggest reason. And the smell takes you back, doesn't it?
So, yeah, you're addicted to 80s Ford,
well,
aren't you?
Well, exactly.
You can bottle that one.
Well, I love driving particularly. So when you spend so long inside a car, actually that's more important than how it looks in cases. It's other people that have to look at the outside, right? Inside in sort of comfort. And I was thinking about things like the Ford Scorpio, which actually has got this gorgeous interior, but a gopping exterior.
Yeah, yeah.
But when you're inside, you don't have to look
at it. You don't care. I think it's got one of the nicest interiors.
So what we thought we'd run down is some of our favourite interiors in classic cars. It doesn't have to be the rest of the car's terrible. They could well be brilliant, but it's just our picks for if you're going to spend a long time in a car interior, it's these that we'd pick. So, James, guess first. What's your first pick then?
I think my first pick has got to be a French car.
Good man.
And it's a big French car, and it's a Citroën CX.
Great choice.
Parfait.
Yes, indeed.
Probably the earlier the CX, the better. I mean, they kept their individuality all the way through.
I was going to say, it was never normal, was it?
But the early cars had the spinning tachometer and speedometer. Obviously, the interior anyway was like a spaceship. Mm. It was all in that sort of, in those pods. The seats were to die for in terms of comfort.
Like an armchair. Yeah.
Over comfortable, really. Very soft. And obviously, it all went with the ride of the car.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, I believe... I might get called out on this. But I think the CX was one of the last cars that was designed by Citroën before they were part of Peugeot.
Yeah, that probably tracks. Yeah,
that probably is about
So it's pure Citroën design.
Utterly quirky as well. The things like the radio is down in the centre console. Yeah.
And also, I know it's not on the inside, but you see there's the single wash wipe as well. It kind of went with the...
All part of it,
the aesthetic,
The whole kind of space age look of it.
I can't argue with that.
So, CX would be my first choice for that question.
What a fabulous choice. Yes, very good.
Yeah, wild. Mr. Whedon.
Well, mine's going to seem quite mundane compared to that. But
is it a Ford Sierra?
Well, yes, not quite, actually. Although I do like that interior, now you come to think of it. But I went with Rover SD1.
Oh, okay.
And actually, specifically, the later cars, I'm going probably early 80s, when they facelifted it and you had that bigger binnacle with the three auxiliary gauges.
Yes,
talking like Vitesse sort of.
Yeah, so I really want a top-spec Van den Plas or Vitesse spec one with the bank of auxiliary gauges. I love the chunky seats with those. I'm not very tall, so the sort of lack of headroom doesn't matter.
No.
I love that sort of steering wheel in the later cars as well, the sort of two-spoke with a bit of chrome.
Yeah.
The overall fascia itself, in its original concept, was quite clever with that centre vent on the passenger side, which presumably then could have meant that
the
steering
column
was interchangeable.
With the added bit, on a hot day, your passenger can get a bit of cool air up the near the regions.
Exactly. I remember being picked up from school by a friend's mum, and the friend was there as well, I hasten to add. and I just remember loving being in that cabin. I thought the seats were great. The fascia looked really cool.
Another 70s space age car, really.
Yes, exactly. Yes,
because it's obviously the silhouette of a Ferrari Daytona, wasn't it?
Well, but, you're good at these segues. You should come again. This is very good. I approve.
I like this. And that little thing about the because all the gauges were in one box for left hand drive, right hand drive, they just screwed it down on the other side of the dash.
Yeah.
So they only have to make one dash. Brilliant.
Yeah. Functional and yet stylish.
You couldn't see the
much
beer
like
cans.
Yourself.
Couldn't see the beer cans are in the sills then either.
No. I tell you what, then I'll go for my 70s choice because I do have one. I've said time and time again that I'm not a Ford man. However, one of my favourite interiors, which I sampled a few years back, Mark 1 Granada.
Oh, yes.
Particularly in higher spec GXL or similar.
And if you watch the Sweeney, Console GT.
Oh, that's what
fantastic.
Again, big leather armchairs. Yeah. That was when Ford were fully in bed with making two-thirds scale American stuff. So on a higher up, you got real wood. It was real wood. And all the lovely gauge pods and all the auxiliary bits and bits. It's just fabulous. I mean, a Cortina, Mark III Cortina does that well, but the Granada just goes cut above.
I mean, I think at the
just
time,
stunning.
There wasn't a better exec, was there, really?
No, I'd agree with that.
Mark 1 Granada. But, good call there.
Yeah, fabulous. Yeah, and again, that's one of those cars, I'm not sure the seat does go, but I think you have to drive it like a lazy boy. It's so relaxed.
Conventional, but stylish, really.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'd agree with that.
And like you say, the top spec ones are the ones to go for. Yeah. They just feel so luxurious inside.
Although if I'm being really, really picky, I wouldn't mind a velour one though. Mm. So a bit of velour just suits
we'll
it.
Come to velour in a minute. That's that sort of resonance for me along the way.
Just fabulous. So
but actually, they carried that tradition on actually, because I think all subsequent Granadas were very good, particularly with those posh spec ones.
Yeah.
Look at a Mark III Granada with those really sumptuous
really
seats.
Ruched leather.
They're just superb.
Yeah, fabulous.
Yeah, great
but
choice.
From the 70s, sir, what's your next choice?
From the 70s, so moving into... I mean, this, again, I put the Volvo 240.
Oh.
But I'm really... probably what I should have said was 80s Swedish.
Yeah, in general.
Because the Volvo 240 was obviously... It was a... You know, a successor to the 144, so it was quite an old car, but even in the 80s, by then, but in GLT form, they were very nice.
You got all the goodies,
buttoned leather and everything else. I should have probably said Volvo 240 stroke 740, because the high spec 760 had a beautiful leather upholstery.
Yes,
and it was proper Scandinavian comfort out of this world. Obviously, it heated everything.
Heated seats, as well.
And they were just, you know, for comfort.
And again, they're distinctive, aren't they? You're very much like your Citroën choice. The Volvo is a distinctive interior. If you're not following a kind of...
Yeah, you know. Blank straight
the
back, away.
Blank
know,
the badges off.
That's it.
You still know who you are.
Yeah. Because the earlier cars obviously had the head restraints, not rests.
Yes.
So you're right. The 740 is probably a nicer interior. But actually, the 240, there was something quite utilitarian about them. And like you say, they go for a top spec one. You've got the ruggedness, but also a bit of... luxury as well.
No, I'm sure
that made that a really good choice.
But totally Swedish. You know,
absolutely. I like the Saab 9.5 for that, actually.
Yeah. Yes.
And I get really fussy with the pre-facelift era where you get the four-spoke steering wheel, not the kind of GM three-spoke rip-off.
Yeah. And the night panel for the
the kind of stuff.
I think the Swedish style kind of runs all the way through, because even if you look at a modern, like V90, it's still so different to everything else. They're light leather, they're light wood, they're a lot less oppressive than all the German cars.
Yeah. They are two strong choices, James. So we're going to struggle to compete with this. I'm already apologising for my choices. I've got a real thing for the 80s BMWs, actually, a bit like you were saying with the Swedish aesthetic. I had an E33 series, and I liked the way that fascia kind of angles towards the driver.
Yeah, the cockpit shape,
But actually, I went for the E34, the one in the middle, the 5 series, as probably the one that did that the best
out of all of that
era of... 80s BMW. I love that fascia. It kind of wraps around you. Four-spoke steering wheel on the luxury ones and the three-spoke on the slightly sportier choices.
Again, the ultimate driving machine tag.
Yeah.
It warrants it then, doesn't it?
I think it's definitely. Probably sort of peak BMW interior. Like, I mean, I'd
agree with that.
I think the E30 9.5 series interior is also very strong.
Very nice,
And actually, as a car, it's probably better overall. Mm. But the interior of the E34, and they're so bulletproof. They just feel so... solid.
What I notice is comparing, if you go from a BMW of that era into a Mercedes of that era, a Merc of that era, 124 or 126 or whatever, you sit quite high. You know, you have this kind of commanding view.
Overly sprung.
Yeah, exactly. The whole, you know, the dashboard's high and the centre console, it makes you feel quite high up. Yeah. In a BMW, you sit low. You've got this low dashboard line and it feels, like you say, it feels sporty and more driver focused.
And the gauges.
Yeah.
Those gauges, those crystal clear. Yeah. Gauges with the font and the clear needles. That's another one of those things where if you looked at them, you'd know they were BMW.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, you wouldn't
mistake
them
with
anything else.
No, fair enough.
So, that would be another strong choice for me.
Excellent. Well, I will continue the theme of German, in which case. And again, you should have seen this one coming, sir, because you've got one.
I know.
My second choice for interior is the Mark 1 Audi TT.
Oh, yeah, good call.
Because I think that is one of these... I mean, on the outside, we know that's a concept car that came to life. They did an amazing job with it.
Yeah.
But inside, it's amazing. All the little details, like the flip-up panel behind the radio and the aluminium gear knob and the little bars that come down. And I love the dials and then when the LCDs don't pack up. Practical. And it's well built because of that era of VW, but also I think it's beautifully done. Particularly if, like the car Mr. Wager drove last year, you get the baseball interior.
I love
the Mark 1 T2 with the baseball interior. Honestly, built like a tank. Yeah, I think that is a fabulous interior.
Well, I can vouch for that, obviously, because I've still got mine. Mine's what, 23 years old now, and it's really worn well.
Yeah,
you know, it's got the black leather that's worn really well. They don't look after it at all, and yet it's lasted really well.
Completely different design language, wasn't it? Inside, outside, and inside, but for Audi. It's purest form there, really.
Oh, absolutely.
This is why I forgive the fact that it's got the Mark IV Golf underpinnings, is that they spent so much time lavishing on that interior. Mm.
They really made it special. And I think, you know, I've said before, if I had the space, I would genuinely have one. I think they're great. So slightly jealous of yours, sir.
Very, very good choice.
Very nice indeed. But rounding out three, James, what's your third interior of
choice? Well, you've kind of... The velour thing is what gets me on this, more than the rest of the interior, really. I said Opel Monza. I guess that encompasses the Vauxhall Senator as well. And the Royale. Those cars are now having acres of velour interior. Oh,
just every surface.
That crushed velour. The dash was pointed towards the driver.
Yeah, very German thing. Very wasn't it?
It was a German car, really, wasn't it? I guess it was an Opel more than anything else.
Yes.
But yeah, that for me, crushed velour. I love velour. Yep. Takes me back to the 80s, which, as you know, I quite like.
Yeah. So, you don't see velour in cars anymore.
No, you don't.
It's just not a thing.
No, and it was, and you know, at the time, it was a very costly prestige option.
It's another good choice, and again that had good gauges as well.
Yeah, great. Not very clear, again very German gauges.
Teutonic.
I'm a fan of that, and like you say, it again it feels totally different to a BMW or a Mercedes or a Jag.
Special another alternative.
Go on then, beat that.
Three champion choices. Slightly inferior on this go on, particular then. Chat show. Okay, so it's obviously a tradition that I have to have a Jaguar in all my choices.
Yes,
I'd be more surprised if you didn't.
Leaping cat.
So so I went with the X100 XK8. Okay. Now, there's a few provisos with this, because it's, for me, personally, very spec dependent.
Yes.
So I'm going late, kind of 05.
Yeah.
I ideally want piano black or carbon fibre inlay, not wood.
I agree with that, yep.
I don't want the factory sat nav.
No,
because it I want the three auxiliary gauges, chrome trimmed, and I want the chrome trimmed gear lever and chrome pedal. So I'm going really specific.
Yep.
So when you search for XK8s, which I'm basically doing all the time, I have to skim past a lot of oatmeal and burnt walnut choices.
Which was the tradition.
But even if you strip all of that away and you go with your own personal preference of what you like, I love the simplicity of that Spitfire wing interior because they didn't have much money to develop the X100. No. Those gauge tunnels.
When you're driving at night, it makes them that bit softer on the eye, which is really, really
the
nice.
Interior packaging is dreadful on the X100. Oh, yeah. So as an overall interior, it's perhaps not the best, but this, the driving environment, again, you sit enveloped by a high transmission tunnel. You've got this dramatic face shear with the gauges in front. You've got the lovely curvaceous bonnet view down there.
Yeah.
And to drive it, obviously we had our XKR for a while.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's actually one of those cars that the successor didn't beat it. The interior is not as good.
I'd probably agree with that,
On the 150. The 150, again, is a better car, but I think the X100 cabin environment is probably nicer.
Yeah, I'd go with that.
Probably just lacking a bit of practical stowage and things, but...
Not the end of the world.
Morning. People didn't. Some people smoke then.
I was going to say. We'll continue on that theme of smoking in cars. Not that we endorse that. Because my third car would definitely have been smoked in when you, particularly, it would have been copious amounts of Gauloises in the centre console. Gentlemen, the Citroën DS.
Oh,
your all-time favourite.
My all-time favourite car. Yeah. It has to be a Palace. Yeah. I don't care if it's left-hand drive, right-hand. If anything, left-hand drive makes it more French, so why not?
Yeah.
But in the Palace, I think it was quite interesting because they didn't design seats for those cars. It was quite interesting. What they did was take a sofa and lift it into the car. They are wonderfully soft and comfortable. Then you get into the intrinsic details, all the warning lights in that big centre sort of stop sign thing with all the colours going around, single spoke steering wheel because it's a Citroën.
Yeah.
I really like the sort of sideways column shift on top of the sort of steering column. I think that works really well. And even tiny, like the little mushroom brake pedal they have.
When you think that car was designed 40, it came out in 1955.
Yeah. Yes. Fabulous.
Yeah.
Even like the view you get, it sounds like a weird thing to talk about, but if you look over your shoulder in the saloon, because the roof on the DS tapers, you get that kind of teardrop shape going down the side. Oh, it's just fabulous. They can be ruinous to run, but who cares? Just sit in it.
Yeah, exactly.
I do honestly think that is up there with one of, if not the best car interior ever. Because I think they're a bit fragile, they're a bit quirky.
Yeah.
I, in my ideal world, I would take the interior of a DS and make that my office home. It's just fabulous.
Strong choices, gentlemen. That's very impressive.
So those are the highs, of which we have some excellent highs, but there are lows. We're fortunate enough to drive a lot of old cars, the three of us, and I'm sure we've been in ones that have underwhelmed and disappointed.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And we're spoilt nowadays, aren't we? Modern cars are so plush. Because when you get back in any old car, it feels austere. Mine would have to be, and I know that, you know, Fords, especially base cars, were cheap and cheerful, but functional. But one that I just feel was particularly nasty was the Mark V Escort. Especially the early base cars. You know, really brittle plastics.
Those seats, that
hard seats with the plastic casing on the back.
By the time you get to like a Mark VI,
done a good job.
But you're right; those early Mark Fives were terrible and a step back from the previous.
They were,
which wasn't brilliant to begin with.
No, it wasn't. I mean, it was. You know, they weren't. You know, the people bought them because they were functional, but The build quality on the Mark V was rubbish. It didn't. You know, the whole package was bad.
I think, yeah.
The interior, you know.
The seats as well, those cynical seats that where the thin fabric just tore off after about 10,000 miles.
Well, like you say, the other thing is, it's not just the design of it was bad, but like you compare a Mark V Escort interior to a Mark III Astra.
Mm.
The Astra is leagues ahead.
Yeah, it was.
It's not interesting.
No, but it's a built much better car.
Yeah, far. No, I think that's a good choice.
What do you think?
It's a terrible choice.
Probably the, you know, probably Ford's most important car. In Europe,
and it was awful,
and it was appalling.
Go on then, follow on from that travesty.
Well, it's probably in a similar line. The Morris Atal.
Yes.
Oh, okay, yeah.
In a way, and someone's going to correct me here, but it's a sort of a steady evolution of the Marina that went before.
But
the problem is that by the time you get to the early 80s, when the Atal is introduced, you're just dealing with a really outdated, outclassed interior.
Yeah, yeah.
Bearing in mind the Japanese are coming on strong now with better built, more ergonomic interior. I mean, I've not sat in one for a while, fortunately, but almost in the exact opposite of what we were talking about with the BMW, doesn't the sort of facial almost bend away from you? It's sort of... It looks terrible. The switch gear was terrible. It was dark and somber. It's
disappointing, wasn't it?
Bad build quality. Just really bad.
Usually brown as well.
I think it was probably the absolute nadir of that old school British Leyland era. What was it replaced by?
Well, this is it. A few years down the line, you think they'd learn their lesson, gentlemen, but they didn't. Because in 1984, I believe it was, we got the Austin Montego.
Yes.
With, for me, the worst interior of any.
So I'm intrigued by this, Joe, because I want to see where you're going with this.
Let's get this point out of the way first. Very comfortable.
Yep.
Seats, very comfortable. They look like they're made out of a geography teacher's jacket.
And a roomy car as well.
Very roomy car.
Very roomy inside.
And that's where the good points end.
Yeah.
For a start, I mean, built appallingly, because it was an absolute epitome of BL, complacent. Yeah. Everything squeaks and rattles and falls apart and cracks, and these days you can't replace any of it. I'm fairly certain that the dashboard was designed by three different people and they just joined them all together at the end. The ergonomics are appalling. You sit there and half the buttons you can't see because they're underneath the steering wheel.
Yeah.
The heater controls are unfathomable, and the one that always makes me laugh is that the ashtray is directly above the blower fan. So if you miss the ashtray, it's going all over the interior.
Brilliant.
The stalks are going to fall off in your hand. The reset button for the heating of the blower is down under your steering column, so you won't see that if you're taller than about 4 foot 8. Just awful.
A bit like the Mark V Escort, though. They did throw quite a lot of effort at it as it evolved.
Once you get to those late 80s ones, where actually they moved the auxiliary switch up where the ashtray was, it's a little bit better, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, the Montego, we've talked on this before, the Montego is not a bad car by any means, but you can understand why people might have thought it was.
Yeah.
But what annoys me more with the Montego interior is the Montego is bookended by two good interiors, which is the Triumph Acclaim and the SD3 Rover that you've got, which is perfectly nice, Japanese, neat and tidy, and the R8 200, which is really good.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's bookended by two really good ones.
Yeah, yeah, fun, isn't it?
You've made a good case for the Montego. I hadn't really sort of thought of it really.
But there we are then. The best and worst of car interiors. It's what the inside that counts, and if it's what these cars have inside, then they're terrible on that basis. Why don't you let us know down below, first of all, which one of us chose the best or the worst, but also your favourite and least favourite car interiors, luxurious or Spartan or sporty or well-built, whatever it is, let us know down below. And if you fancy a classic with a nice interior, Hobbs Parker Car Auctions, your first sale is April, I believe.
April, 15th and 16th of April. We're consigning entries now, and I would think by then we'll have 200 to 250 entries.
Fabulous.
For April, just in time for spring.
Good man.
Everyone will be in the mood.
Yeah, on the road for driving.
Absolutely.
In a nice interior.
In a nice interior.
But perfect. In the meantime, don't forget to like this video. And if you're listening on podcast platforms, don't forget to follow us on there. Subscribe to Classics World for 2 new videos every single week. And we'll see you again very soon. Ta-ra.